Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. LegalShield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? LegalShield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This is Rachel Goes Rogue.
This is Rachel Savannah Levis, your host of Rachel Goes Rogue. Today I have a special guest joining us, and you may know her as your bish therapist. Melissa Reich will be joining us today. She is a therapist turned pop culture aficionado. Melissa earned a master's degree in clinical psychology and has practiced for 22 years. I'm familiar with Melissa Reich's podcast. I listened to Jamie Oliver's podcast, who had Melissa on her podcast, and they were talking about abuse. And I followed her after listening to that podcast. And she's been posting a lot of Vanderpump Rules content. The one that caught my eye most recently was a post that she did on the topic of grooming and what grooming was. So I figured, what better way but to have her on to my podcast to talk about grooming? What is it? Why is it controversial to say somebody's a groomer? And I would like to hear her perspective on grooming and how it relates to the show. Please welcome Melissa Reich. Hi, Melissa. How are you?
I am so good. Thank you so much for having me. And I just feel it's so wild talking to you in person. So it's just good to see your face and it's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I know we connected on Instagram recently because I listened to Jamie Oliver's podcast and you were on there as a guest and you were talking about abuse. And that's one of the topics that it's a heavy thing to talk about. And I really admire the way that you're able to take on those tougher conversations in a way that's productive.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's kind of what my whole thing is. And, you know, because I'm like, well, let's make something good out of something that can be really toxic. So that's my goal. And I'm just really excited to do that here with you again.
And since you are a therapist, you are specialized in all of this stuff and know all of the terms. And I noticed on your Instagram, you posted something on the topic of grooming because that came up on Vanderpump Rules. So I was hoping you could help us define what grooming is.
Sure. It's a little bit complex. There's a lot to it. But so grooming is really manipulative behaviors that an abuser uses to gain access to a potential victim, to coerce them to agree to certain things, and to reduce the risk of being caught. So it's kind of an amalgamation of a lot of really complex behaviors, but the goal is always manipulation, control, coercive control, and things like that.
What are some signs of grooming?
Well, and one thing I do want to say too, because this is a common misconception, is that adults can be groomed. I think, you know, one of the things that makes me frustrated is folks think that it can only be children or teenagers, but adults can very much be groomed as well. So I wanted to make sure I added that.
It's such a controversial topic, I feel like, because people get very, I don't know, like they're like, no, that's not grooming. This person's an adult. They can't be groomed. So it doesn't qualify. So what would the qualification be for an adult to be groomed then?
You know, the broad categorization is just that people who are vulnerable, right? So marginalized groups, people with mental health issues, people who are struggling in that way, you know, sometimes we are more susceptible as adults to this sort of stuff than many people would like to admit. And for me, it does go into a little bit of victim shaming and victim blaming, right? Which our society does love to do, as you have found out. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's a mix of people have a hard time reconciling in their brain how that could happen as an adult. But, you know, when you're struggling, as you know, with depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, all of these things, there's no age limit to it. And I think there's the shaming of, well, someone should know better. And it's like, but sometimes we don't, for a multitude of reasons.
Mm-hmm. My understanding of what grooming is, I guess, is like this person wants something out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a gradual easing into this thing where it's so subtle that you almost don't notice that it's happening. I guess like pushing boundaries.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. I have a term for it. I call it boundary stretching. Okay. So what that means to me is, you know, when you put on a pair of pants and they're a little tight and you just give them a little good old stretch and they, you know, they'll fit you eventually. People, you know, I'm joking, of course, that's a silly example, but people who are good at this are good at boundary stretching. It doesn't feel, so they do things where it doesn't feel like a blatant boundary violation, but it is at the very edge of your boundaries. And so it stretches and it stretches and it stretches. And soon what starts to happen is that we now are engaging in behaviors that do violate our boundaries, but it creates what I call a cognitive dissonance, which is a belief that, well, wait, I've been participating in this, so this can't be that bad. This can't, right? And then also the perpetrator, they use a lot of gaslighting to support the boundary stretching, right? They might deny, well, that's not what I'm doing. So I believe that we in our gut know when something feels right or doesn't. And so my best feedback with that is just to listen to your gut, because you know, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, right? Where things happen that in your gut, you just did not feel really comfortable with, but it's how this slow incremental boundary stretching really is a huge tactic.
As you're describing this, I'm just thinking back to the situation with Tom and I and like how that came to be, because on the episode, Lala told Tom that he's a groomer. And as I'm thinking back to that, like the whole like first kiss that happened in the pool at Tom and Ariana's house, I know that it wasn't just like a flip, you know, like there were steps that were taken to get to that point. And as I look back, I'm starting to recognize what those little things were that made me feel comfortable enough to go there.
Right, right. And so what you're saying is exactly, you know, what I'm talking about, where it's small and incremental and it happens over time. So yes, that experience makes sense to me.
The thing that Lala was pointing out to Tom was when she heard me say, I'm isolated and I don't have anyone else and I need to fall in line with Tom. Otherwise, like I won't have anybody. I think from the point that we kissed to the point where I broke down on camera in my final interview, there was a lot of isolation along the way because we were keeping this secret. And I wasn't allowed to tell my friends, but he was allowed to tell certain friends. And so when I did hang out with my friends, it was like, oh, what are you up to? And I had to like come up with something because I couldn't tell them what I was actually doing, which furthered me from them and made me closer to Tom because I felt like we had a connection, like something to talk, you know, like some substance to talk about. So I just wanted to point that out, that like, I think isolation is probably a key factor in the grooming process.
It is. And I'm happy to speak to some of the signs. One thing I do just want to say, you know, I want to be really cautious as a therapist. You know, I don't know Tom. I'm certainly not saying that he is a groom, you know, I want to help educate, right? And I want to help validate. And it sounds like, you know, that makes sense to you. So I just want to be real cautious, you know, because I'm not your therapist. I don't know you. I don't know him. You know, I just wanted to put that out there. But there's kind of some benchmark warning signs of grooming. And one of them is isolation, because it's an attempt to control the narrative. If we're separating somebody from their loved ones or their friends, you know, like you said, you didn't really have anybody to talk to. Well, there's a functionality in that, which is that you're then more susceptible to certain behavior, right? Because if you're alone with it and you're experiencing it and you have no one to kind of talk to or to say, hey, Rachel, I'm noticing this or I'm seeing that, you know, have you thought about this? It makes us look at things differently. And so that's definitely one huge piece of it. A couple of other pieces are secrets are huge. You know, there's a saying, I used to work at an inpatient residential treatment facility for drugs and alcohol. And there's one of the sayings is that secrets keep us sick. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that that's something that you've, right, learned as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, that was definitely something that clicked in my mind. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I've been keeping secrets for a long time and it's made me sick. Yeah.
Truly. And again, that's the incremental boundary stretching too, right? Because it's like, well, if you're going to keep a small secret, then people know that you're going to keep a bigger secret. And so, you know, what I always tell people when it comes to grooming or whatever it may be, someone who truly loves you is never going to ask you to keep their secrets. Never. Never. It's a huge red flag. So, you know, to hopefully validate your experience and a lot of other folks as well.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. With my therapist right now, she's like, you need to protect yourself. And we've been really examining what are red flags so that I'm able to spot them and be like, oh, that's a red flag. And then, you know, take the appropriate action to make sure you're being protected. Mm-hmm. And as I'm watching Vanderpump Rules, I see it through a whole different lens now.
Sure.
I'm like, wow, that's a red flag. And I could only imagine, like, eventually I feel like I will go back and watch season 8 when I was in that relationship with James, because I think it'll be, I don't know. I feel like it'll be a therapeutic experience just to kind of see it through a more mature lens.
Well, you know, one thing I give you a ton of credit for is that you are so willing to take a step back to look at your stuff. And so what you're talking about is looking through things with a more therapeutic lens, whereas before you were looking through it with a more painful, you know, coming from a place of depression, anxiety, and the things that you've talked about, right? Those lenses, they do inform our perspective. So, and I also, I give you a lot of credit for A, working with your therapist, but B, I do think that's so smart to only do it when you're ready. Because, you know, the one thing for me with my podcast is I do a lot of trigger warnings because trauma survivors, you know, we appreciate it and we have to be ready to take the information in that we're watching. And so, you know, I think that, you know, you had talked about, I listened to some of your other podcasts and you had talked about, you know, Bravo putting some resources at the end about suicide prevention and things like that. Mm-hmm. But also what frustrates me is that there's no trigger warning at the beginning. If there were trigger warnings for every really concerning scene, we may not have our beloved Bravo shows, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, I do think that is a very wise point of view to really listen to yourself and do it when you're ready and not a minute sooner. And if mm-hmm. ever, right? You may not, mm-hmm. that may be something that you choose not to do, and that's okay too. Mm-hmm. So a couple other things that I wanted to note that are warning signs is there, and I feel like I've heard you talk about this a little bit, a desensitization to touch and discussion of sexual topics. Mm. So, and again, this is not just with kids and teenagers. This is with adults too. And there's, again, that boundary stretching. There's, you know, it can start out as a little back touch or a little, you know, hip rub or whatever it is. And then it's like slowly and slowly and slowly, right? That it seems like
yeah. With you. Because it's like that didn't mean anything. It was just like maybe an accident or like, oh, we just bumped into each other or, oh, like, oh, man, I just flash back and I think of like the boundary stretching that was happening where, you know, all three of us were in the same environment and he would almost push Ariana's boundaries when he would touch me a certain way or like massage my feet in front of her and then, but like act like it was completely normal. So mm-hmm. then for me, it was like, well, feels like it's okay. And then, you know, Ariana's not saying anything, but I'm, you know, thinking back, I'm sure she was uncomfortable with it, but maybe didn't want to say anything in front of him. Mm-hmm. I just feel like he was pushing both of our boundaries.
Sure. Sure. And I mean, I encourage you to listen to your gut with that. Because you, how you're explaining this is, you know, in theory, really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the theory and you're talking about the actual reality of that. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think that in that same vein of what you just said, the biggest thing is that folks who engage in this behavior really, make it seem natural and appropriate to avoid raising suspicion. So that is one of the parts of it that it's like, again, with the boundary stretching, there's just a normalization that, in my opinion, in what I've seen in my clinical practice, is it kind of escalates. Again, because, you know, they don't want to seem suspicious or they don't want to seem out of pocket or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's definitely a huge part of it. And then in all of this, right, are things like love bombing. There's love bombing and keeping secrets. And with all this, there's a discussion of inappropriate sexual topics that maybe you normally wouldn't feel comfortable with, but are being kind of like, it's exposure therapy almost. So in therapy, one of the things that we do to treat trauma is called exposure therapy. But there's also these like little exposures to things that prime us neurologically or neuropathways for accepting certain behaviors. And so in the moment, you know, as you're listening to me say this and people are listening to this, If something is clicking to you or you're thinking back to something, you got to trust that gut. You got to trust your gut instinct because nobody knows what's better for you than you. Nobody. Mm-hmm. I believe that wholeheartedly. Like as a therapist, mm-hmm. I'm a guide. I'm a guide to help people save their own lives. And it's a pleasure and it's an honor, but you really do all the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I get annoyed when people tell me that I should have done this. Or I could have just done this and then do this, you know, especially with like coming back to do the show. Like, oh, if you're talking about it so much, why don't you just go back to Vanderpump Rules? You mm-hmm. should have done that, you know? Right. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what's best for me.
Right. And so that's my message to you and people listening, like people who have been gaslit or what have you, is that you're really doing the work. And I think that for so long, in my estimation, you really didn't have a voice. So to use your voice is honestly so important. Because it's not only helps you, but it also does help other people. You know, in the program, we talk about sharing your experience, strength, and hope with others is invaluable, not only for your growth, but also for your healing. Because, and I truly, I give you a ton of credit for not going back to Vanderpump Rules, because I think that everyone's going to have an opinion about what you do. But at the end of the day, we have to put our head on the pillow and go to sleep and know that we did right by us.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Okay, I wanted to ask you, like, just straight up, when you were watching Vanderpump Rules, when you heard Lala accusing Tom Sandoval of grooming, what was your immediate reaction? What was your immediate thought?
Well, so like I said, I can't, you know, I'm watching observable behavior on TV, right? I don't know Tom. I don't know Lala. I don't know any of you. I have to be mindful of how I give my feedback on this. But my immediate thought is that Lala made some very important points that are kind of in line with what we're talking about, right? Like, I'm never going to label Tom X, Y, or Z. But if we're looking at the behaviors and, you know, what Lala's noticing and the isolation and all of that, I mean, I think that that's valid. That's valid. We can't do revisionist history and say that it's not valid. One behavior, one thing doesn't make anyone a label, right? A groomer or narcissist, right? That people like to throw that around a lot. And, you know, on that note, what I'll say is too, we all have narcissistic tendencies, myself included, you know? And so I think that clinically, how I look at things is there's a spectrum of behavior, right? So when we start seeing behaviors, we look at it on the spectrum, and then, you know, behaviors add up to more, you know, problematic issues and can lead to personality issues and things like that. So where he lies on that, I can't speak to, but my immediate reaction was one of concern.
Yeah, thank you for answering that. You know, I don't want to label Tom anything either. And I know I've called him a narcissist in the past, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, you start seeing these patterns and these types of behavior. And there are terms that psychologists use to explain this behavior, because once you're able to pick up on it, it becomes predictable.
That's right.
And yeah, so it's like the terminology is used as a tool, not as an insult to somebody.
And let me be clear, Rachel, that's your experience. You're allowed to say whatever you want. Let me be super clear. Okay. You are allowed. You're the one who experienced it. And so I'm not here to tell you that you can't say or do certain things. For me, the difference is, as a therapist, and I have the credentials to be able to diagnose, I have to be mindful about how I say it.
If I'm going to be completely honest, I do feel like I have been groomed, because I was in a very vulnerable state of mind. Mm-hmm. And I just got out of a relationship that I feel like was very destructive to my well-being. He witnessed that whole thing play out. And I think things started shifting when we went to Coachella, and he really went out of his way to cater to me. And I processed through this with my therapist, and he even had these like non-nicotine cigarettes that he would light for me, and we would smoke it together. And now, thinking back on it, it's like, did he bring those just for me, or did he bring those for people that didn't smoke cigarettes that he wanted to smoke with them? And then my therapist also mentioned that smoking is a very intimate type of activity, because normally you like socialize and separate from the group to go smoke. So that was like the first thing that I can really label as, I think that was grooming.
Sure. And, you know, I, again, respect how you feel sincerely. Nobody can tell you how you feel. And I'm just honored to, you know, be here to process this with you, to talk about this with you. And I'm also grateful that you have a therapist to process this with, because as you're experiencing, it is such a mind jumble when you're sifting through all of this, right? Memories pop up and things pop up that you never thought about twice. And so, you know, what I will say is, when we start to heal, everything about us heals, and our perspective shifts, and we see things in a different light. And so I give you a lot of credit for doing that hard work. And I hear you. I hear you.
What are the ways to identify a grooming dynamic in a relationship? And once you're able to identify it, how do you leave?
Oh, those are good questions. How you identify it is, honestly, I would say, if you have a guide. So whether, you know, there's some people who either don't believe in therapy or don't have access to it, right? I'm not going to pretend that therapy is accessible to everybody. It should be, but it may not be. So I think the first step is trying to discuss it with a helpful advocate, a guide, someone who has your best interest truly in mind, right? So for me, a therapist, I feel like, is a great option if you have one. But if not, it may be doing some research on your own, contacting a victim's advocate. You know, RAIN has so many good resources for folks. They have online chats and they have phone numbers. So I think that the first step is, if you're feeling something isn't right, listening to that. That's step one. Step two is finding a safe space, a guide, an advocate, a therapist, someone that can help you, you know, groups, domestic violence groups, or, you know, just a trusted person that, you know, they have your back and they're not going to weaponize anything or try to skew anything. And then I think truly the answer is processing, right? Because for you, and I'm not sure if you can speak to this, but when you're in therapy, you process things in such a way that you cannot do alone. And I'm going to say myself included, right? I'm a therapist, but I have my own therapist because, you know, I think we all need help seeing the forest for the tree sometimes. Mm-hmm. So again, to summarize, it's talking about it, self-assessing, really figuring out, touching base with ourselves. Because I think the one thing that a lot of women especially don't do, we love to gaslight ourselves. I mean, society loves to do it too, but mm-hmm. we love to gaslight ourselves in terms of being like, maybe I was being, you know, too judgmental. We love to do that. And it's like, ladies, let's just stop. Let's just stop mm-hmm. the madness and trust yourself enough to know that if your gut's telling you something isn't right, you know, that's really worth taking a look at.
Great answer. Yeah, I think it's so helpful to know that there's resources out there for you. And mm-hmm. There's ways to get help, even if you can't afford a therapist.
Rain.org. Specifically, I just wanted to make sure people listening to this are getting good resources. So Rain.org, RAINN.org, is a great resource. There's the National Sexual Assault Hotline, 800-656-HOPE. You can also chat online at online.rain.org. It's free, confidential, 24/7. So, you know, doing a quick Google search, if you're looking for specific resources, you know, thankfully the internet is a beautiful thing and mm-hmm. it does help us get connected to those resources if therapy isn't accessible. One other thing I want to say too, is I really recommend, it's called psychologytoday.com. And it's a website where I kind of joke it's like Tinder for therapists, but without the sex part. It's like, so you can look through profiles and you can look at pictures and you can look at what do they specialize in. You can search by insurance information and all that stuff, because choosing a therapist is also really hard and really daunting, right? So that's usually a good resource that I like to recommend for people too.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
I know a lot of people are going to critique, you know, this discussion about grooming, because I was a 28-year-old, now 29-year-old woman who should know better and can make my own decisions. I'm a grown adult that, like, grooming doesn't happen to these people. But I just wanted to say, like, I was in a very, very vulnerable place. And this is not an excuse by any means. This is just, like, my experience and my learning process through what I went through, and I knew that it was unhealthy, but the consistent like text messages, FaceTimes, insisting that we FaceTime, you know, not letting me sleep. He was even attempting to turn me against my family and saying my family isn't caring for my well-being. They just, you know, they have ulterior motives and would refuse for me to like have even a full 48 hours to myself was an issue. So I think it gets to a point where, you know, it may start out as just like little teeny things and then it turns into something more until it's like something very controlling and powerful. And when you're in it, it gets so consuming, where it almost feels normal. Like it felt normal to FaceTime him every single day. It wasn't until I really took that time away and checked myself into an inpatient treatment facility and started really focusing on the work and limiting my time talking to him so I could like think for myself. Yeah, it really is hard to see it when you're in it.
Yeah, I think that your point is so important that we need time and space to get perspective. I would say most of the time in relationships, because, you know, I kind of use this analogy of, you know, sometimes we lie in a pile of our own garbage and we're just used to it. You know, it smells, but it's warm and it's like shaped to our body. And you're like, ooh, this feels normal. But then you get out of it, like someone reaches out their hand and they grab you out and you look back and you're like, girl, how did I do that? You know? Yeah. So I think your point, it's so valid that we do need time and space away to really get full perspective, number one. But number two, something else I would like to say from a neurological standpoint is that our brains do not fully develop until the age of 25. The last part of our brain to develop are the prefrontal cortexes, and that controls impulses. Mm-hmm. Okay. So mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I don't want to get on my soapbox, but I think that societally, there's a lot of judgment about, well, if you're in your 20s, you're a full-blown adult. Your brain would beg to differ. Okay. So I think that, you know, when you're in your 20s, you're still young. There is this weird societal expectation that the day that you turn 18, you're supposed to all of a sudden be an adult and responsible for everything. And that's A, just not true. But B, the thing that I appreciate most about you, which is something that a lot of folks cannot do, you'll say, yeah, you know I'm going to get backlash for this. I know that I was 29. I know that I'm, you know, a grown woman, and you take accountability for that, right? And that is all that we can do as humans. All we can do is say, wow, this behavior was not characteristic of me, and this was not the person that I'd like to be. Mm-hmm. So let me actually take a look, get time and space, get some help, and work on changing that. And my goodness, isn't that what you are doing? Mm-hmm. But people, you know, you certainly cannot please everybody, and people always are going to be critical and judgmental and just mean. So I think that your healing is yours and yours alone. And you have to do things the way that make the most sense to you for lasting change. Because truly, you know, there's a saying in the field that past behavior is the best predictor of future behavior, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've heard that many times before.
I haven't heard that, but it makes complete sense. Yeah. And I'm noticing like, okay, people have patterns. Like it's a pattern. It's not going to stop unless they really want to change.
Yes. And so what I'll say on that is that while that is the case, I believe that anybody is capable of change only if they are motivated to do so. Period. You know, so when you're ready, when you're motivated, when you have a good team, you're unstoppable. There's nothing that can stop you. So you are actively intervening on your own behavior to say, you know what? I know that I didn't like this, that I did this, and I'm owning it, and I'm going to look at this, and I'm going to continue to make sure that I don't ever go back to that pile of garbage. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean, Tom, to be clear, I just mean, right, your own pile. Yeah. Rachel's pile, right? Like, yes. That garbage pile, she's gone. And so, you know, yeah.
And it's so true, because it could, you know, like, we're not just talking about Tom here. Like, you will attract the type of person that you let into your life, you know, mm-hmm. your own worthiness. And it yep. would just repeat until I learned my lesson.
That's right. And I'll say, you know, I had a lot of situations growing up that were really hard for me. And I dated only narcissists until I did the work. And then, you know, I did the work and I met my beautiful husband. We've been together for 22 years and I'm so grateful. But yeah, our trauma and our life informs who we pick. You know, you've heard the term that people have a bad picker. Well, that's not like a character defect. It's like, we have a bad picker because of our own stuff, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't feel that we're worthy, if we don't feel that we're important and deserve good things. So all of that is impactful when you're picking a partner. And what I think is beautiful with you is that doing the work you're doing will ensure that the next partner that you pick will really be good for you mm-hmm. and will really be a true partnership. And, you know, so look forward to that. I promise yes. it will happen. It'll come.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be a much different experience, I have a feeling, but I'm not quite ready yet to date. But eventually when I get there, I know that it'll be a much healthier relationship just because right. I'm taking care of myself now. And like, you know, I'm prioritizing my mental well-being. And
that's right.
So I'll attract somebody who, you know, hopefully is working on themselves and like taking care of their own well-being, because if they're not, then I'm going to recognize it as a red flag.
Yeah. So, yeah. As you should. I mean, all we can do is from these experiences, all we can do is grow.
Thank you so much for joining us, Melissa. You can check her out on Instagram at yourbishtherapist. And she also has a podcast channel, Your Bish Therapist, and she's incredible on there. Just like the insight, I listened to your Paris Hilton's dissecting her documentary and her interactions with her family members, and I thought it was very insightful. So definitely go give her a follow.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I appreciate you having me, and I'm so happy to have met you. I'm so happy to have this conversation, and I'm just grateful. So thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Rachel Goes Rogue. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok for exclusive video content at Rachel Goes Rogue Podcast.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.